to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 295. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Chris is the queen.
Okay. And Jeff.
Queen of poison. Caribbean queen?
Queen of poison.
Queen of poison.
All right.
Then I must slay him.
I'll That's take right. that, I guess. and Pete is here as well.
Yay!
We're gonna mix things up. And we're going to jump right into the news because there's some big stories this week. We want to make sure we got to talk about them, maybe a little bit more in depth. But a PlayStation VR announced their pricing scheme. Jeff, you want to run us through that?
I know $399.
$399.
That's all I know. Yeah, I guess it comes with some kind of like demo type games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, some pack-ins like all the other ones do.
It should come in. They should have one big, bigger, like full retail game too. I mean, for the price, this is like an add-on to a system, so I think, yeah.
Well, I mean, we don't know the depth of what that pack-in is either. Like,
yeah, it might you might get a good.
Maybe it's substantial.
But I'm just saying. It'd be cool to get one like $60 game with it, considering one is $3.99, but then we haven't really talked about yet the fact that it does kind of require at least one extra thing.
You need to get the camera, which you can get relatively cheaply. Like, I think Brian said you can get it for like $40. So, but yeah, that's a $60 retail piece. So if you don't get it on sale, you're looking at $460 to start.
Yeah,
and if you want to do the Move controller stuff, you're probably looking at like $500 without a game. So
yeah, I mean, it's the cost of another system, basically.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, but it's the cost of one other system as opposed to the cost of two to three new systems.
Sure, sure. Of course, on the other end, like PC people like are not that. $700 or $600. What is the Oculus is what $599 and Vive is $799. Is that right or is this something like that? Right, it's close.
I think that's right. Yeah.
But like I mean, you get a good graphics card, you're looking at the cost of another console or something. But yeah, regardless, this is an expensive endeavor no matter which way you're going for it.
PS4 does look best by far in terms, like if you already own a PS4,
price,
yeah it's not the end of the world if you're interested in it, and I am, but I just the fact that I need to get all this other shit kind of.
I also like I'm sitting here and we don't know what Nintendo's plans are, but if they come out at in May or in June, Jeff, and say that they're releasing their next system in November. Like, does that maybe spin you the other way on this?
Well, that's something that we already kind of discussed, where I'm like, I think a new Nintendo console is, I think it's more enticing to me in the end, if I'm being really honest with myself. But I'm so intrigued by VR. Like, it's weird.
Right. Like, I mean, I have bought two consoles in the past in 1 year before. That was an expensive month.
I've done it. I did it with the Xbox One and the PS4.
Yeah, that's when I did it. That was an expensive endeavor. So,
sure, probably not something you're looking to repeat anytime soon.
No. And also, like, I mean, we've talked about it. I am maybe not as high. I am not high at all on VR. So,
really, you're not intrigued.
I don't like things on my face, like. I just don't like. I mean, I don't like 3D movies. Like, I don't know. If it comes out and everyone's like, "This is really cool," like, I'm hearing that from people now, but not many people have actually sat down with for an extended period of time. I'm really worried that this is the Wii, right?
Like, I don't think it is. I think you gotta think about it. You gotta think about the software that could come out for it that like might not necessarily you think of it as a game. Like I would really. Sure. I was talking about it with some people on Google Hangout about how like Imagine if Google Hangout was a billion times better and you're kind of like all just sitting around hanging out and in some environment type thing. And like, it's just to hang out with people, like visit relatives or like shit like that. Like,
sure, but we're not going to get that right now, right? Like,
it's not impossible. I mean, yeah, it might not, it's not going to be like in the launch lineup probably, but there's nothing that's holding them back from doing something like that, right? Like, why not?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would think on the PlayStation side, like, the PlayStation is probably holding it back, but they seem confident in being able to do it, even if it's not going to be kind of on par with, like, what the Oculus or Vive can do, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just so interested in just the idea of the technology ever since I was a little kid. Like, it's just, you know, virtual reality is something that's been an idea since, like, the 90s, and
I think what tears it apart from the Wii, at least in some way, is the fact that nobody's playing catch-up on an idea that already outlived its usefulness. Just as everybody investing in it at the same time and sort of working together instead of, like...
Sure, sure.
You know, hey, here's motion controls, and then 6 months later, after motion controls are no longer fun, here's the Move, and here's the Kinect that isn't even motion controls. And
mind you, the Kinect sold more than the Move by a long shot.
Yeah, for sure.
The Kinect was, by all like standards, a success. Like, they sold over 10
sure,
million
but
to
I
that.
I mean, at the time, I remember everybody making fun of it because it just looked like...
It looked goofy like, as hell.
Fucking thing, you know, like...
Dance Central was awesome on that thing. I will give it that.
Sure, I mean, and it had some cool apps. You know, there may be a... You know, my hope is that there'll be more than one or two games in this in the VR space that make it fun.
Right. Like, I think... Like, I've been reading a bunch of the comments on it, and it goes either way. There are definitely, like, the supporters of VR that will support it no matter what, and then there's the crazy people who, you know, hate everything that's new. So you kind of got to weed through the middle. And those people are like, hey, you know, like, this is really cool, but for $500, like, I need something more... I need, like, a library of games that is legitimately good, because I don't want to get burned. Like, that seems fair. Like, I think people going $400 for this being, like, that's a good price. Like, it's a decent price, but $400 is still a lot of money to people. Like, I don't know if that's going to be something that people are going to jump at.
I think it's a lot to ask for just an idea. Like, there's no real software for it right off the bat, like, that I've heard of that I'm like, yes, I need to play that. Like, yeah, flying around as an eagle, that sounds kind of fun, but, like, you know,
$400? Actually, what sounds most fun is Ubisoft's werewolf game. It's basically a version of Mafia.
Werewolf Mafia?
And stuff, and, like, you never played the game Mafia where, like, everybody sits in a circle and there's a narrator, and sometimes you can play it with cards if you don't think your friends have very good memories. And everybody has roles, and you're basically, your goal as is to find the one to two people of your friends who are technically part of the Mafia and killing off all the other people. It's a dumb, like, party game. But they kind of have taken... There's, like, a weird, like, medieval version called Werewolf that has additional roles and rules and stuff that I played sometime last year. And they're doing, like a cool VR, like, representation of it. That sounds... Like, stuff like that, I think, is, like, could be really... Like, that's a game that doesn't make sense to just make unless it's in VR, you know?
That's what I'm saying. I think the most interesting things we're going to get out of this are games that wouldn't exist without it, you know? Like, just doing just a regular game or whatever, I don't think is... Like, it might be cool.
Right, putting Halo in this isn't necessarily what we want. You want something different. Like,
it's like you could do it, and right. I guess with PSVR, you're going to be able to play, like, any game on it. Like, you could play Uncharted.
There's, like, a cinematic mode, which will be basically, yeah. Like, I guess it simulates you watching a big screen TV or a movie screen or something like that, so...
Like, that does not sound super interesting to me, like, at all.
Yeah, like, that's not what you want, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, I can... Why would I sit with this helmet on when I could just be looking at my television.
I am way more interested in games, though, that are just not even what you consider traditional games. Just I'm just thinking of stuff like the apps. Like, I want to go, you know, I'll never be able to afford to go visit Paris. I want to go, like, to Paris and walk around Paris. Like, and I know that might be asking a lot, but, you know, to do a really detailed version of Paris. But I'm just saying, like, that idea of...
But would you wouldn't even need to do a really detailed version of Paris. You would just need, like, Google to go through with their camera and then, like, render that in VR,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's possible. Is that possible? But
how do
you...
I don't know.
And can you bring that world of life that's living and breathing and not that you're walking through a static image where there's
right,
just...
Right, like, that would be... That would be probably where it gets a little sketchy.
They're really creepy. Like, end of the world. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, imagine that, like a game that's, like, it's just called, like, Virtual Vacation, and it's just, like, you get to go to different places in the world or whatever, you know, like, just stuff like that that is not really game-like, more, you know, quote-unquote experiences, I think sound, like, if the tech is as cool as it is in my mind, I think that would be really cool. But I remember me getting excited when the Kinect came out. I was like, dude, we're going to be able to talk to our TVs, and we're in the future now, and it's like, I think Kinect is the dumbest thing ever now, so...
Hey, talking to your TV is still pretty cool.
I love talking to my TV.
I don't care.
My dad does a lot more than I ever thought he would, and probably more than he ever thought he would. So
I don't care about that whatsoever. But, I mean, yeah, I guess so, certain things did stick with the Kinect. But
you did care about it originally, and I think that's the whole point.
Jeff cares about everything originally.
Yeah, it's very
easy. He gets excited.
Yeah.
I don't get excited.
Which, that's excited. I mean... There's a place for... We need somebody with some enthusiasm.
What is enthusiasm? God damn.
Like, I mean...
A waste of effort.
3 out of the 4 of us here right now, maybe not so enthusiastic about things. So.
I am very curious about VR. I'll say that much. Like, I don't necessarily know where it'll wind up and what it'll do, but I want to know.
That's the big thing for me is like, and I don't want to go into this blind. I really want to demo it somewhere. Like, I want to go to a Best Buy or wherever I have to go to try it out.
Just imagine Jeff getting pink eye.
That's exactly
that's the thing. It's
like, I don't actually want to put one on without, like, unless it's like a trusted friend. You know, like if I had a friend who owned it, like I could go to their house and do it. Like, okay.
I'll take your pink eye. It's okay.
I could deal with that, you know. You're somebody I would probably share a drink with, so. You know.
Right, but, like, I don't want to do this at Best Buy, like, where the dude behind me may have had lice and also maybe feces on his face.
Yeah, but do you guys want to try before you buy? Like, I don't really want to go into it 100%. I don't want to be there on launch night, like, going in blind. I want to know what it is. Before
I at the very least want, like, other people that I trust to have tried it. Like,
well, dude, all the journalists,
I want people that I know that I trust.
Right. Yeah, okay. But everyone who has tried it seems to be a believer. Like,
Craig Miller is so excited about this. You're like, great, he's excited about everything.
Right.
Yeah,
or like, I don't know.
Craig Miller is still excited about Vita.
But, like, Ben Kuchera is basically, like, the evangelist for VR. Yeah. So it's like... I'm having a hard time believing anything he says because he's so overly enthusiastic about it, and he doesn't seem to see any negatives at all. And it's like that there has to be one, right? Like,
then again, he's tried it and we haven't. But yeah, that guy is so fucking.
But right, he's tried it, we haven't. But he also probably isn't putting out money for any of this either. So
that's another yeah.
Yeah, it's really easy to be excited for something when you can just play it at work.
Right.
Yeah. Or you get one for
they ship it to your house because you've been spouting like how much you love it. Like, and I'm not saying that
now there are also a bunch of people who are getting these things for way cheaper because they backed the Oculus, right? Like, that certainly helps when you only had to pay a quarter of the price that everybody else had to pay.
Right. And I'm not saying that like, you know, the journalists aren't right to be excited for it or that it's just we get shit for free as well sometimes that we review and I don't know, like, for them it's like that's like they don't really have the same cost analysis in their head sometimes with this stuff.
they often don't think about it at all. Like, right, you know what I mean? Like, they fine. Get a lot I mean, of this stuff for free. So
it's like, I mean, as a critic, like on some level, like if you're not being a consumer reporter, you don't really need to do that. But this is a new piece of tech. Like, I think a consumer reporter is more what we want here.
I think the value factors in no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's a $20 game versus $60 game, sometimes the value is an important thing to talk about. And a lot of these critics that get this stuff all for free, they don't even think about it. They don't know the price of the game. They're just like, whatever. You know, so I don't know.
I think the bigger issue for me is like as somebody who suffers from like motion sickness.
Sure.
Things that are really stupid. And I have the weirdest reactions to things, like my ears go numb or whatever, like during motion sickness. Like if I get sick during VR, like that's only something I can know ultimately.
Right. So like you'd actually really have to try, like you can't even be yeah. like trusting somebody who has it. You really need to like sample it. Yeah. And I don't have your motion sickness issue, but like watching 3D movies gives me a headache. So
Will
this being on my head, will this give me a headache? Like, I don't want to spend $500 for a headache.
Yeah, and I wear glasses, so, like, is it going to be comfortable and stuff?
Right.
Like, I wear glasses while, like, on a PC or playing games and stuff because I have focusing issues, quote-unquote. So it's like, you know, there are all these weird touches with VR that are too personal for just a consumer thing. It's like, yeah, it can be fun, and yeah, it can run at 60 frames a second, but ultimately, do I want to pay something for $400 for something that's going to make me vomit?
Right. Yes. Jeff is saying yes. Do it.
You know?
Just like, I mean, think of my beer expenses. I mean, how much money have I spent there to vomit?
Right. I mean, really. Exactly.
Right?
True. Well,
But one interesting thing I did see that came out later after the report was that their submission guidelines for PlayStation VR is that they don't accept anything that doesn't automatically run at 60 frames per second.
Yeah, it needs
like,
to run it.
Don't even bother sending it to us if it's not going to run.
Yeah, which I'm really like, I mean, I know that people were saying, oh, No Man's Sky is like that was like the big rumor that they were going to package this in. But yeah. The rumor on No Man's Sky is that it's having trouble running like at 30 frames a second on the PS4. Are they going to be able to get it to 60 for PSVR? Like, stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that game is ever going to be ready as a packet. I mean, granted, PlayStation VR is launching a little bit later than they said.
It's October, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we never mentioned enough. That. My bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see how it pans out. And a lot of people are, like, spouting that, I guess, like, it was sold out on, sold out on Amazon UK or whatever.
Well, I mean, there are no pre-orders yet, as far as anyone's aware. Like, I have friends who have been, searching far and wide for something, and it's like, Sony hasn't announced anything officially, right?
I don't think so. I mean, I didn't even know it was up for sale anywhere, but I heard that, I guess, Amazon UK had it up, and they then stopped allowing pre-orders on it, so. But, I mean, like, the Oculus sold out, no, didn't sell out, but, like, you know, it's pushing back. You're not going to get it when it launches if you order now. And kind of the same with Vive. Like, there are people out there that are really excited for it, and they want it, and they're the early adopters. So, like, going, oh, it's sold out of its first shipment or whatever, I don't know if that's a telltale indication that of anything.
Yeah, I mean, what's the first shipment? Like, 150 models?
Right. Like, that's the other thing. We don't know what the allocation is for any of these places. So, we'll see. I'm sure there will be a whole lot more at E3. On this thing, so. And Jeff will eventually try it for us.
I think that you're gonna cave at some point.
Not this year. I probably not. But we'll see. But I'm gonna go. I'm not quite there yet. But you know, when it gets closer, I may have different story because I have, you know, willpower issues. So
yeah, me too.
Even if I'm like, I'm not really excited for this, but I will buy it anyway because I'm an idiot. So
I feel like that's how most Nintendo fans feel at this point.
Right. I mean, if Nintendo were to go, hey, we're launching the NX, I will definitely spend money on that. So, I mean, yeah, whatever. Let's see. Other pieces of news here. Tony, tell us about the Jim Sterling lawsuit with Homicide.
Is that Digital Homicide is the company. So apparently, well, not apparently, Jim Sterling does this bit where he goes around and plays all these games on Steam and does like quick hitting reviews of how terrible they are.
Clicks through like the dollar and under section.
Right, they're awful. They're awful games or cheap games. You can get them on Steam because Steam doesn't really curate anymore. So there's all these crappy games. So he goes on there, he plays them, he does these like reviews and, you know, posts them on YouTube. And for whatever reason, he got into it with the Digital Homicide guys. They didn't like what he said. And so they've been going back and forth for about a year now.
He had him on an interview, like an hour-long interview.
Yeah, he did it on their game. No. He interviewed with them. And then there's been like warring blog posts, and Jim Sterling has all these fans. They've all gotten really hardcore angry on the Digital Homicide guys, like spamming whenever they post anything. So you'll notice if you start reading about this, that it'll go. And then Digital Homicide did this blog, which has since been deleted. And they've had to delete like everything that they've done. Number one, because most of the stuff they did has been utter crap. And number two, because Jim Sterling's fans have like tooled on them so hard that they've been overwhelmed with negative comments and, you know, angry people spamming them.
Their comments to him are my favorite work. They're like, someone will eventually sue you when you have enough money to get you taken from you. It's like,
They said that to him 4 months ago. And of course, when somebody finally sues Jim Sterling,
it's them.
Now, to be fair, they filed their paperwork for the lawsuit. They don't actually have a lawyer.
No, they're representing themselves.
They're representing themselves because they can't afford
it. Digital Homicide is representing themselves?
Yep.
So they'll probably do as much great legal work as they do game design.
They probably will, because they have no idea what they're doing, and it's very, very hard to make a case for libel. Especially with something like this where you're a professional reviewer and you're right. Like it's gonna be impossible. But they're trying it anyway, and as Jim Sterling says, he has no comment, but he feels very confident, and he should.
I mean, if I'm him, I'm not happy about being sued. I mean, that's just a pain in the ass. It sucks. They went into it. Did anyone listen to the interview that he did last year?
No, I only read about it.
Like,
It was painful. Summary. Oh God! Like they were like, he was threatening to sue him in that interview, and he's like, go ahead, dude. Like it was so awkward because Jim Sterling's like, dude, it's not even that your games are bad or anything. It's like you're copy and pasting shit, like kind of stealing assets. Like
right.
A lot of this is not really even your work. These are barely games. And the guy's like, well, I'm at least creating something and putting something out into the world, and you just are sitting back there and judging. And he's like, yeah, that's my job. Like, I'm doing a better job at my job than you are at your job. And
I love the other comment that I guess it was made in one of their video responses back or one of their blog posts, though. Where Jim Sterling kind of criticized them for buying assets like from digital storefronts. And this guy was like, well, you know, it's like the cycle of life. Like, you know, if we're not buying it, then those artists aren't making money, and we're just giving back. This is how games are made.
The guy was going – in the interview, the guy was going so far as to say, like, oh, you put videos on YouTube, right? And then he's like, yes. He's like, you use footage from games in those, right? He's like, yes. He's like, how's that different from what we're doing? He's like, I really have to explain to you how this is different. Like, I am commenting on stuff. You are selling something as your own original work, and it's just a bunch of garbage that you've slapped together, you know?
Right. He's not going, like, Jim Sterling's not going, this, what was it? What's the game called? The Slaughtering Field or something like that? Like, The Slaughtering Field is my game. Like, he's not saying that. He's going like, hey, here's this game by Digital Homicide, and it's garbage.
Yeah, but the guy was just trying to say, like, you have content on the internet. Your content create is made of stuff that other people made. And it's like, yeah, because he's a fucking critic. He's commenting on stuff that other people made. He's not releasing something that he's saying is an original thing that is, you know, for your entertainment that, you know what I mean? It's just a totally different thing. To try to equate that is just it's fucking stupid.
So we haven't even touched on the best part yet on and Tony might be getting to this is how they plan on getting legal representation or how they originally planned, I should say.
So they've tried crowdfunding it. But the problem was that people were trolling with their donations. They were donating in amounts so that Digital Homicide would get fees charged to them instead of actually getting So they had to pull down their donation page, so now they're trying to work out how they're going to fix this.
Oh, that's fantastic. Wow.
Yeah. This is the greatest thing ever. Like, not that I love Jim Sterling. I think he's made his entire career on being angry. And like,
being what?
He's made his entire career on being angry. And
oh,
sure. While you have a right to be angry and like say whatever you want, you're a journalist. It's fine. But I don't think it's a good thing the way he.
I don't think he
talks about the industry.
I don't necessarily like care for his stuff either. But I think he can be funny in times. Like I've seen some of his videos. Where he just sort of does the whole, like, I'm a British dude, like, making fun of American garbage. And it's like, okay, I mean, that.
His whole thing is kind of. He's kind of tongue in cheek, though, too. Like, a lot of his, like, videos are him pretending to, like, acting as a pompous asshole. But that's kind of like, it's like a shtick. Like, you know, he's not really. I mean, he does kind of have a high opinion of himself, I guess, but.
I mean, I know it's his character that he's playing.
It's a character. Oh. Like, the. I think his writing, I think he's a little glib sometimes with his reviews where, like, he might not know a lot about a series and he'll just kind of trash stuff, but I think his writing is generally, like, I think he's one of the better writers in the industry, like, just the way he could craft a sentence. But yeah, anyways, the whole thing's fucking hilarious.
that was the other, when you guys were talking about, you know, how he's angry and he's playing a character, there was this other piece. I guess Digital Homicide also acts under another name, ESCC or something like that. And it certainly called them out on that in the past, especially since there's a Polish developer that has a very similar name,
right?
And he's called them out on in the past. And they were like, well, your name isn't really Jim Sterling. It's like Jim Stanton or something like that. Like, your name isn't, like, you're doing exactly the same thing.
That was in the interview as well, and he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, my name is Jim Sterling, so I don't know.
Well, yeah, the legally binding name, like, that's listed in the suit is the Jim Stanton. But what he was saying is that they're trying to confuse people because there's more than the one, or whatever the hell it is, yeah.
That was one of the most awkward parts of the interview when they tried to pull that out as like their big like we got you, and he's like ha, 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 ha. He started laughing at him, like outright laughing, like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, I'm hiding who I am, like, what are you, like, that interview is fucking gold, dude.
That's crazy. But yeah, so there's that Jim Sterling out there.
Soap opera of the video game industry moves ever onwards.
Gee, I hope he survives this lawsuit.
I wonder how he'll make it.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It's almost like, you know, I bet they actually did better with Jim Sterling trashing this game. Like, their sales probably went up.
I think he said the same thing to them, too. Like, I'm giving you attention. Like,
right, like, nobody was paying attention to this game previous to this. And then he mentions it, and I bet, like, you know, there are curious people that are like, well, no, I gotta play this myself. Like, so I don't see anybody having been like, I'm gonna go play Digital Homicide's new game. Like, I don't think that was gonna happen, so he probably actually helped them, and these people are probably just looking for more attention. They're going about it a really weird way.
Yeah, I mean...
The guy's an idiot, is what it is.
Is it two guys or is it just one? I can't remember.
I think it might honestly be one guy.
There was probably two at the beginning, but the other guy probably abandoned.
I was like, this is so stupid.
I'm not being involved in this.
I think him and the guy making the retro VGS should team up on
together.
Yeah, we need to talk about that. Is that not on the news, or did you guys talk about that last week?
I think we did.
I think we talked about it last week where it kind of, like, crashed. Like, did you have anything you wanted to add on that?
I just think that was amazing. It's one of the best stories of the year so far.
Yeah, that is a fantastic news story.
I mean, the whole thing from right off the bat was the worst idea ever, and just the amount of fun we've got to have from that is pretty great.
Last thing I got, last big piece of news, I guess, is that Microsoft has said that they are willing to open up Xbox Live to other networks and consoles, allowing for cross-platform play between PC and PS4. They didn't specifically mention Sony, and I don't think Sony specifically mentioned them when they wrote their response to it, but...
No, it was just a lot of, yeah, sure, you guys can go play with other console manufacturers or other hardware, like, you know, always straying.
Right, basically...
Real far from mentioning the brand.
I mean, Sony has allowed this since Final Fantasy XI. Microsoft has toyed with it in the past. Shadowrun on 360 had PC crossplay where you could... Yeah. But it was not...
Yeah, Sony's definitely been more warm to the idea than anybody has. I mean, even with Portal, you could do the co-op cross system.
Yeah,
and actually, the PS3 version of Portal 2 came with a PC copy.
Yeah, they've been, you know, at least doing the PC stuff for a while. We've never had PlayStation to Xbox crossover, but that could be really cool.
Now, didn't Final Fantasy XI allow that?
Is Final Fantasy XI on 360 was just it was a closed network.
Oh, really? Jesus.
Yeah, so like you could play with PC people on the PlayStation 2.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you were playing on 360, you were not playing with those people.
Oh, okay. And so they said, what, Rocket League's the first game that'll have all three systems in one?
I don't know did they say all three? I know Rocket League definitely announced that they were doing PC, but at that point, when I heard it, Sony hadn't made any sort of, you know, agreement to join in on this, and then their kind of response was a little snarky back, but it looks like, I guess they talked about it today, like they made, somebody at Sony said they were willing to certainly listen and you know, discuss, but it's going to be up to the game makers, really, so...
Well, okay, and 9 out of 10 times I have to imagine they're always going to be for it. Like, I can't imagine.
Right, if they can make it work, like, why not?
Yeah. And I'm for it. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, being able to play
Rocket League.
Could you imagine,
like, Destiny or Division players not having to buy 3 copies of the game just to play with all their friends?
Right, like, I mean, I know a lot of people that play Destiny on the Xbox. Well, not right now because it's dead, but when people were playing Destiny. But I also knew a lot of people playing it on the PS4 that, like, we just weren't playing together because, you know, they were on one system, we were on the other. And there were a couple, like Fozzie, that were splitting time between the two.
Oh, Fozzie.
Yeah, crazy. That sounds like the worst way to play that kind of game.
Yeah.
Like, quickly, let me do this content in one system and then do it all over again with another character.
But, like, games like The Elder Scrolls Online, like, that could be cool to...
Destiny. I have so many people in feed who play on PS4. Play with those people.
So, yeah, there's definitely...
If I didn't hate Destiny.
Right?
Call of Duty. Like, just, like, can you imagine, like, the overall, like, Call of Duty number across the board?
Right.
Like, that would just be crazy. Like, you would go from having, you know, a few 100,000 on the Xbox One and PS4 servers to having, like, 1 million at all times. Never have trouble finding a game, that's for sure. I like the idea. I think it's pretty cool. And maybe now we could play with Pete and play Rocket League with him.
Yeah, man.
When it gets fixed. So. And I guess they're doing some sort of tournament thing, too. I don't know if you guys heard about that.
You're talking about Rocket League?
No, Xbox. They're implementing some sort of... I guess they're going to make it so that you can... easily add tournaments as a developer to your game.
Oh, that's cool.
So that could be pretty cool. Like a Rocket League tournament you could just set up and go from there.
That would be nice.
Yeah, so all that was out there. But Let's jump into the games, unless there's some other news anybody wants to kind
of talk
about.
I don't think so. I mean, GDC's going on, so I mean, you know, we probably got as much news as we ever deserved out of a show like that.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
And we're not too far off right now from like PAX East, and then E3 is not too far behind that. So.
Oh, E3, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. All right. Let's see. Games
I could have
here.
Sworn there was one other thing, but
well, if you think about it, we could circle back to it. But I played more of The Division. That game continues to be okay.
It seems like the popular opinion is kind of switching to your side, Chris. Seems like a lot of people were like really high on it at first, and everyone's like, "Yeah, it's not bad."
It seems like a lot of people are done
right.
with it too already. Like
very quickly.
Yeah. There's like no real end game content right now.
No, I need to add it.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
it's too late.
Destiny added the rate. Yeah, people are gonna drop off of this right quick. I also don't like, for me at least, like there was something fun about like you know the Destiny loop. I enjoyed it, and Tony did not, but I enjoyed shooting things in Destiny and getting that new gun. There's nothing exciting about getting a new M4 or a new AK-47. Like it's always the same gun. Like you're getting a new Uzi. Like, but it's not. It's just a little bit better Uzi. Like there was something cool about like the different weapons you'd get in Destiny and the different you know names they had and they all kind of reacted differently. Like this M4 is just a little bit stronger than the last M4 you had. So there you go. It shoots the same.
It's a little hard to be interesting when you're stuck to the real world.
Yeah. I mean, the environment looks really cool, although it's really, really empty. Which is a little weird, especially since this is probably, I don't know, you have to suspend your belief a lot in that game, because this all the attack happens on Black Friday, and I don't think it's Christmas yet. Like, there's still Christmas stuff up in the game. So you're at best, what, like 4 or 5 weeks out from the attack. Yet the entire city is vacant. Like, there's only a few people still remaining, and it's weird. I was kind of hoping Dom would be here to tell us why he likes it. Although he also said, like, he's not sure if he's going to stick with it like he did Destiny, so...
Really? After all that time? After all that evangelism?
I mean, he's still saying he thinks it's the best game he's played this year, but he's not...
Hasn't played Stardew Valley yet.
Oh, Lord. We'll hear about Stardew Valley in a second, but...
Oh, you're gonna hear so much.
He doesn't... Like, he is not under the impression that, oh, this is gonna be my game of the year. He definitely thinks there's gonna be more that comes later that's gonna probably pass by, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, the more I heard about it, the less I wanted to play it.
Yeah, that's how I felt
in the end. Like it sounds like a really cool world, but I actually don't like the fact that it's less like Destiny than I thought.
Yeah,
like, I actually wanted to be like to be able to see other players
Yeah, they're not like you're basically. So I boot up my game and I am instanced into my version of The Division unless I want to join with somebody. Like, if I think you've all played Destiny at some point, so you know that like when you go to Earth, there are people running around. Like,
yeah, so it's like Division is basically a single player game until
yes.
you choose otherwise.
Yes, you can choose, unless, or like if you go specifically to the multiplayer section. The dark
zone. That's what I mean. Like, unless I tell the game, all right.
Yeah, I want to play with other people. Yes. Which is weird. Like, it's like you. That was one of the cool things about Destiny was you'd be there, you know, taking on a mob of enemies or one of the public events, like you're taking down a tank or, you know, doing a bounty hunt or whatever, and the random people that are on your server with you would just show up and they'd help you out with it. Like, there's nothing like that going on here.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm kind of playing it like I would like a single player third person shooter. It's okay, I guess.
Yeah,
it's okay.
That's all. It seems to be the consensus.
Yeah. Tell us about Stardew Valley, Pete.
Ugh, Stardew Valley.
Because you and Fozzie both put it on your power rankings.
I was surprised to see it on there. I didn't realize Fozzie had put it up on there. So the best way for me to explain it to people is that it's basically Harvest Moon, but with all of the improvements everybody's wanted that Nintendo just doesn't put in the game. So
it's a farming simulator, like a light farming simulator?
Yeah.
Okay.
I get, like, simulator is...
It's probably too strong a word, but...
Yeah, generous term there. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, it's not like Farming Simulator
right.
2015, like a level of involvement, but no, it's definitely... There's definitely a lot of farming chores in the game. For sure. But it's very charming, you know, like, and there's so much choice in what you get to do and how you do it. And the game has like little bits of everything. So like, you know, there's the farming, there's like the mines where you can go and do like combat and stuff. It's very much a, like search and improve upon yourself. Like the game very naturally gates things. Sometimes gates things that you didn't even know existed, and then all of a sudden, like, you leveled up to this point where now you can, you know, you can make cheese, right? And that's, like, a really big deal and stuff. And, like, the game sort of entices you by putting these things that are gated from you in your periphery. Be like, oh, okay, well, this is over here, and I know either as soon as I get enough money... or I collect enough timber, I can, like, repair this bridge and then find out what's over on this other side kind of thing. If I'm making sense.
A little bit.
I really didn't actually do a very good job of thinking about how to talk about this game beforehand. But, yeah, I mean, is it, you know, the art style's pixel art and stuff, so, you know, it's, like, your typical, like, indie-type thing. But it has... a little bit of that flair that maybe you would like that puts it slightly above your typical like artsy fartsy kind of indie game and stuff. And it was made by one dude. Like one guy just spent 4 years and made the whole thing himself.
Huh.
Which I think is kind of amazing. But yeah, no, it's a very like soft is the wrong word. It's the wrong word, I think, but it's also the only word I can think of at the moment because, like, you're not trying to save the world. You're not trying, like, there's not, like, conflict in the game. It's just, I'm just gonna, like, build my farm and do my shit. And that's it. Like, it's really weird. It's, like, for me personally, it's unlike anything I've played in a long time. Or ever, maybe. Except for maybe something like a SimCity or something like that, you know? To a lesser degree.
Okay.
I mean, it's cheap. It's only like $15 right now, I think. I would totally jump on it just to see what it's like. You know, or watch the videos and stuff. Like, the reason I bought it was because I was watching somebody on YouTube play it. And there's just, like, so much... And there's, like, the wonder of discovery. Of just seeing, like, what's in the game, how much of it is there is, and all that, like, sorts of stuff.
Is there, like, a campaign to it? Like, is there,
yeah,
there a reason to anything? Or...
I mean, not that's made, like, super obvious. It's just, like, okay, like, there's, like, a bit of story in the beginning of the game that sort of sets up why you've moved to this valley and stuff, that you're basically, like... bored with your life as it is and are in search of a change or some blah blah blah. I don't know. I skip the opening cutscene. And then after that, yeah, I mean, you get to the farm and the whole thing is in fucking shambles. Like, you inherited it from your grandfather and he clearly didn't take very good care of it. So you have to start from scratch. Like, you just have a house and some land in the very front of your house, and the rest of it is all just overgrown nonsense. So you, like, bit by bit, with like the tools you have and the and like the crafting recipes that you unlock, you slowly just make this large plot of land like more inhabitable and more appealing.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure it's a game for me, but
I mean, if you don't like Animal Crossing or Stardew or like Harvest Moon and stuff like that, probably not gonna be the game for you. But yeah, it's only $15.
See, I like Animal Crossing, but I could never get into Harvest Moon. Maybe I didn't give it enough of a shot either, but I hear great things about this game. Our friend of the show, Amanda, who used to come on sometimes, she's playing it right now. She like isn't obsessed with it. So,
yeah, no, like so many people are into this, and I love it. It's really fun. I like, it's one of those games you just sit down and play for hours, and you can accomplish so much in those hours.
Okay.
Stuff. So yeah, it's definitely like of the games that new games that I've played this year that don't make me motion sick. Like The Witness did. It's totally cool.
Cool. Tony, tell us about some Hitman.
Tony?
Tony died.
Okay, so gone. I'm just not hearing.
Okay. I don't know what happened to Tony, because he's not going to tell us about Hitman.
He's been assassinated.
Oh, is he back? Maybe not. I don't know. Jeff, you finished up Twilight Princess.
Yeah, I did.
I guess Twilight Princess.
Yeah, the things I said about it last time would still stand. You know, I do think that it has some of the best dungeons. It has a lot of filler shit, too. Anyways, but it does get, I think, better, like, tighter near the end. Like,
did you play it with the Ganon amiibo?
Nah.
Did they do any edits to it like they did with Wind Waker, where they sort of like tightened up shit that they knew nobody liked?
Not enough, in my opinion. Like, well, not. I mean, they did like minor things that you wouldn't notice. Like when you have to collect the tears when you're the wolf, there's less of them.
Yeah, there's like, what, like, you only need to collect 10 instead of 12, or 8 instead of 12, or something like that.
It's like 10 or 12 instead of like 20 or okay. Whatever. Like, it was like way more. Like, the parts, but that's, like, really it. Like, I'm trying to
think. Didn't they make a change in, like, reverse where they made something worse? I thought they, like, had it, like, you're talking about tears and stuff, and it makes me think that, like, I had read that they made something that you had to collect more than it was before in the other game.
I don't think so.
Maybe I'm just thinking of heart pieces, and that was always that way.
Mm.
It's five heart pieces in this game,
right? There's,
as opposed to just
four. I don't know if that was in the original game or not, though.
That's what I'm saying. I might just be thinking of that as the thing that I heard, and it was always that case, and not just the HD version.
There's a lot of pointless chests in the game that only have rupees, but I think that was in the original game. They did have pointless chests that have stamps in them instead of, you know, anything worthwhile.
Didn't they make it so that way you could, like, put the rupees back, because they, you know, 9 out of 10 times have, like, the ones at the beginning you can't put in your wallet because it's not big enough?
Well, your wallet's bigger now.
Oh, that's
your wallet was increased for this one.
You could get a bigger wallet, too, but
yeah,
whatever. I mean, you don't need the rupees anyways. I never spent them on barely anything. Anyways, though, yeah, I think it gets better in the second half of the game for sure. Like, there's one temple where I beat the temple, and within 10-15 minutes, I'm in the next temple. And then near the end, it's just at the last three in a row, there's nothing to do between them. So that's pretty cool. Like, it gets a lot of that bullshit that kind of bogs down the beginning sections of the game. Like, it kind of fades away. And it is, like I said, it has some of the Sky Temple is amazing. And that's, like, the last proper temple in the game before, like, the final temples, like the castle and shit. So I don't know. I still really enjoy it. I think it was, you know, if you haven't played it in 10 years, like me, and you never got to play it, like, on a real controller, it's awesome. Like, it was a great time.
I'm to the Forest Temple.
Oh, my God. That's the first temple.
Yes.
But...
Yes, I know.
That one you should beat really easy and quick, but and fairly soon after that, you have to do like a whole tier quest type thing and whatnot, but you get the second temple, which is really good. It's one of the best in the game, so.
And you've been playing some Dark Souls 2.
Yeah, some, like, this is a game I
brought. Broadcasting
like,
a bunch of it as well.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I bought this game on, like, a whim, and I've now put 54 hours into it, and I'm level 95. So, it's probably the deepest I've ever gotten in one of these games, and although I've played all of them, and I've really enjoyed all of them, I've never been good at it. I would still say I'm not good, but I had a thing happen where... Alright, let me put it this way. The way I play these games is I grind through areas, I get to the boss, I summon somebody to beat the boss for me. It's just how I do it. I don't think I've ever beaten a boss on my own. This one I was trying a little bit here and there, and I think I did beat one early boss on my own. Oh no, I beat a boss that was really tough. It's like three guys, the Sentinels.
Oh yeah,
really tough. Yeah.
Pain
and I was having problems summoning people. It always say summoning failed, so I just took the NPC characters with me. Like, you could summon two, like, you know, computer controlled phantoms, and they're, you know, they help a little bit, but they're mostly there as a distraction. And I finally like went away, leveled up a bunch, came back with them, and just destroyed the Sentinels no problem. And I've beat like five or six bosses since without summoning anybody, just like on my own. And that started with a boss somewhat after that where I could not summon the NPC because I think they died in the previous boss battle. So I had no one to summon, and I could not find any human players to summon. I was just on my own. And so I fought this boss for like 3 hours, and I finally like figured out his every move. And like at first I was like, okay, he's hitting me no matter what. Like, if I block him or if I do this or that. So I finally just, like, equipped a bigger, better shield. And all of a sudden I could block him. And then I just started learning all his moves. And eventually I beat him. And my God, is that one of the most satisfying things ever. Like, these games are fucking awesome. So anyways, yeah, I just...
And you finally learned how to play them for the first time.
Yes, I finally... Yes, exactly. That's my own
just point. In time for Dark Souls 3?
Yeah, I'm so stoked for Dark Souls 3. Like, I'm in love with this series right now. Like, it's just... It's such a satisfying game when you beat things, and it has just amazing atmosphere. So, yeah. And, I finally learned how to play
it. Tony, tell us about Hitman.
So... I played a tiny little bit of Hitman...
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically all you have at the moment. But the first episode, I guess you could call them, of Hitman launched a week ago today. So
it's just Paris, right?
So it's the prologue and Paris and what they call contracts mode. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit more than just one mission. The contracts mode, I think, changes. I haven't actually played any of the contracts yet, but it changes over time and they add more contracts. So as time passes, there'll be more and more to do without you actually having to buy more episodes, which is kind of cool. I just got the intro pack, though. I didn't buy the whole game. But that does allow you into the contracts mode, so all the contracts, you'll get them as time goes on.
Do the contracts take place in the open world and they're just like little side missions? Or
I don't think there is an open world, although I don't know yet, having not played any of them. So I've only actually played through the prologue.
Oh,
which takes place about 20 years before the game starts. And obviously you're Agent 47 again, only you haven't been accepted by the agency yet, so you're going through training missions.
Convenient.
Yeah, but the training mission, they're just normal missions. So you play through three missions, and then you get to hop into the Paris mode.
And they just kind of teach you the basics of the game, the service.
The first one teaches you the basics. The other two are, they just kind of let you go and do your thing. So only the first mission's technically a training mission, in quotation marks. But it's that Hitman feel. It's, here is your target. Go find a way to get them and kill them in whatever manner pleases you. So for example, if you look at my feed, you'll see a video of me poisoning some guy, And then he runs to the bathroom and starts throwing up, and then I drown him in his own vomit.
Nice.
It was very pleasant.
That's how you play a Hitman game.
That is how you're supposed to play, yeah. And you kind of look for those cool opportunities to do stuff to people that is extremely unpleasant, like, you know, dropping from them from the steel.
Okay.
Did you
play Absolution?
I did. I adore that game.
Okay, because I played it, and I mean, obviously the story was garbage, and it was probably meant right. to be.
I mean, that's Hitman story.
But I did enjoy sort of like the open.
Yeah, and this is that. Of, like, it's the same kind of feel.
Okay.
The one thing that is a little concerning is the. You need a connection to the server to play the sing. I mean, it is a single player game, but you need a connection to the server to play. Yeah, which is very, very strange to me in this kind of game. I never got disconnected while I was in a game, but every time I tried to pause or went to load a new game, I seemed to get disconnected from the server. And I have seen people complaining that they've been disconnected mid-game and can't play. So apparently they're having server issues. And it's always annoying when a company decides to, you know, go with the de facto DRM route and attach a single player game to a server. It's just weird.
Yeah.
But like I said, I never got actually disconnected while I was playing, which would have been extremely frustrating. It was only when I was like, oh, messed that up, got to load the save file and go back, and then it would disconnect me and have to reconnect in order to play the game.
For that reason alone, and the episodic thing, I can't.
The episodic thing is the reason I bought it in the first place, because I wasn't actually going to. I mean, if they released a full Hitman game, I would obviously buy that. And then when they said that it was episodic, I'm like, no, I'm out. When we hit launch day, it was only $15, and I had $10 already in my Xbox Live account, and I'm like, I think for $5 I can play a little bit of Hitman. So,
also, like, it's like a weird version of episodic. It's like, it's kind of like, hey, here's more story, but it's more like, here's just another. It would be like if MGS5 was episodic in like a weird way, and just like, hey, episode 2 is where you get to go play in Africa now, and like, there's just a whole more open world. You know, it almost reminds me of like an MMO expansion type thing then. Because it's, you know, instead of just being like, here's 3 more hours of story like a Telltale right. game or Life is Strange,
right.
it's just like, here's an entire other quote-unquote open world for you to, like, fuck around in.
Here's the open world, here's the contracts mode for the open world there, and yeah, it's a bit more than you would get out of that kind of experience. That said, I mean, they really need to fix the server situation.
Sure.
Before I would consider buying another episode. And it makes me kind of glad that I only bought the first episode.
Why does it have to be connected to the server? I wonder if they could change that. It sounds like something that they could not, I would think, but
I don't see any reason why it would need to be. Honestly.
I'm saying if they built it that way, I don't know if that's something they could flip a switch right. on it and fix, but
I mean, maybe they could, maybe they can't, but I don't see why you would want to build it that way to begin with.
I know, that's what pisses me off about it. That, and I don't. I generally just would rather just buy a whole game at once. It's just how I would prefer it.
Yeah.
But okay. Is it fun? You like it?
I mean, I like it. I liked Absolution. This plays exactly the same way. It's always so much fun to be the hitman and, you know, kill people and assume their identity and. There's one I actually saw this looped in like Kotaku or something. There's one part where you open a door and there's this cook standing there, and you just pick up an item off a table and kill him, like from across the room by throwing the item.
Oh, I thought you pick up his like meat cleaver or something.
No, it's not even a meat cleaver. I don't even remember what it is. It's like a can or something, but you just wham, hit him in the face with it, and he's dead.
Poor guy.
And that kind of stuff and hit. You're the hitman. I mean, you kill people. You don't care what happens to them.
Sure.
It don't matter.
They don't take your guns away from them, do you? Like in Absolution, because that was fucking dumb.
I've had my guns in every mission so far, but...
All right, well, that's good.
I mean, you don't... It's not really a game where you go guns blazing anyway.
No, 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 but I enjoy my silence pistol.
That's true.
You know? It's hard to feel like an assassin, but I don't have my silence pistol.
You could just put people in the toilet.
I mean, I guess so. I mean, worst case scenario, I'll just drown them in their own vomit due to food poisoning.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Because you were never there.
I was not there. No one witnessed it. They just found a body lying in vomit. Anything could have happened.
It's true.
I guess that's it. Unless you guys have been playing stuff new. I haven't been playing a bunch of Halo, but it's about it. So.
I could talk about Dark Souls some more.
No,
I mean, there was the like announcement of the Hearthstone expansion, but I don't think anybody here besides me plays the game.
I mean, I've dabbled in it, but I haven't played since probably their first expansion, so.
Yeah. So. More cards, new mechanics, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
They look cool enough to maybe bring me back into the game later when it launches. We'll see.
Yep. All right, let's quickly hit up our power rankings here. There's been some movement on the board.
Thank Christ.
We lost one. Yeah, we lost a big one.
Mass Effect, which had been our top game.
Undeservedly.
In February. I don't know about undeservedly. It is gone. But in its place, we have some newcomers like Stardew Valley.
Fuck you.
Which has jumped in at number 10. Tied with Firewatch and The Legend of Zelda Wii U. So there's that. Legend of Zelda and Firewatch both moved down one.
Also deservedly.
I think Jeff would dispute that with you, but...
I'm probably going to move Firewatch around in mine at some
point. One is a game that doesn't exist at the moment in really any form.
Oh, it exists in some form.
I mean, maybe in, like, an ethereal, like, idea state.
I mean, we've seen some of The Legend of Zelda. Like, it's going to be amazing.
I would be very surprised if when we actually see, like, a proper reveal for that game, it still looks anything like that.
I'm telling you right now, no, it's going to look like that, and it's going to be, like, people are kind of saying, like, Skyrim meets Zelda. It's going to be super open world with, like, a lot of stupid, like, weird shit side shit to do.
With no puzzles.
Which just sounds like a regular Zelda game.
There's the side stuff in the regular Zelda games is very structured and kind of... I guess, I mean, stuff like that is in Skyrim, too, but I'm saying, like, Skyrim, you could just go find a random cave, and there's, like, some cool shit in there. I don't think there's enough of that in Zelda, especially the last few ones. Like, look at Skyward Sword. It didn't even really have an open world. It was just you fly around and go to little islands.
Where there was nothing at.
Yeah, and even, like, the beloved Wind Waker, most of the islands on that are just, like, a little tiny island with, like, a chest on it. You know what I mean? So... To have, like, this big open world where there might be tons of caves and just who knows what.
Nothing except rupee chest.
Yep.
Well, maybe.
And stamps.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not expecting a whole lot of, like, mind-blowing side quest content
from Nintendo.
This Zelda game. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. But in seventh place is another three-way tie here. Horizon Zero Dawn. Yes, another three-way. Horizon Zero Dawn, Doom, and XCOM 2. XCOM 2 sliding down a little bit.
Have you played the game with the new patch, Tony?
I have not.
I'm just curious, because it claims to have affected, and positively affected, the frame rate. And I'm just curious.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys read my review yet, but I'm not sure that the frame rate is my biggest issue with the game.
No, I haven't read.
I tend to get over that kind of thing pretty quickly. Like, I could play it. When I put it down to low settings, it played great. It obviously didn't have mind-blowing visuals, but that's not really something that really hits me that hard. But
right.
I found other issues with it.
Yeah, so it's slid down a couple spots there. Doom, however, went up a spot. And Horizon Zero Dawn moved up two spots. So.
Y'all need to get on that hype train for Horizon.
I'm hoping we'll see more of that at E3. Yeah. That's what I want to look for.
The first reveal, though, was like a solid. You could tell it was like a real chunk of a game. You know, it was not like a trailer.
Oh, sure. I would just want to see more. Like, give me another trailer or something. You know, it's been quite a while since we've seen it. Paris Games Week stuff was exactly the same thing that everybody had seen behind its doors, so it wasn't exactly new material.
In sixth place, Ratchet & Clank.
Yeah, buddy.
That moved down a spot as well, but I'm really excited for Ratchet, so that should be fun. Gears of War 4 in at number 5.
That had some stuff this week, didn't it?
There was a lot of stuff. I guess Game Informer had a cover story on it, and there was a lot of stuff revealed about it. I think that a lot of it actually sounds pretty positive. They're kind of going a more horror route with it.
That sounds cool. I like Laura Bailey. She's one of the main characters. We're playing one of them, so my interest has kind of peaked in that regard.
Yeah.
Somebody having a seizure?
Jeff.
I just fucking killed a fucking Red Phantom fucking piece of shit.
Let somebody invade your game, or?
Yeah, and you know what? He's invaded my game like 5 times and he's killed me every time, and I just fucking raped him. Like, I fucking bent
Calm
him
yourself,
over.
Jeff. Jesus.
Yeah.
It was great.
Gears of War 4 had a pretty good write-up over the last week or so. I'm actually more excited for that than I was.
Cool. Jumping
back onto the charts here, and I don't know how long it will remain this high.
Oh.
But Tom Clancy's The Division returns after its 1 month absence.
And then we'll go back onto obscurity next.
Yeah, it ended up back on my top 10 because coming off of the beta in February, I thought it actually seemed pretty good. It's still okay. Fozzie ranked it really high up on his list, though, which is what helped move it up into the number 4 spot here. We'll see. And then Deus Ex Mankind Divided in it, tied at 2 with Uncharted 4, so. Yay that, I guess. Deus Ex is what, August?
Not soon enough.
And Uncharted 4 is May, so very soon we'll see if one of those stays on the list. So.
I think Uncharted is going to be pretty good.
I hope. I was not a huge fan of 3, so. Speaking of Uncharted, I actually started playing that again this week.
The first one?
Uncharted 4. I have the collection on PS4.
Yeah, I thought about getting that.
That game is still really pretty. Even, almost a decade later, that game still looks pretty good, and it plays okay. It is not the best third-person shooter from that gen, but it plays okay.
I'm sorry, which one did you say this was?
The original Uncharted.
Oh, the original, yep.
Never played it.
It's good.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that sucks about it is throwing grenades, but if you can just avoid doing that for a little bit, then it's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean... It is a little wonky when you shoot somebody in the head, they don't die, but that happens in The Division as well, so.
Yeah.
And then our number one game here, which had been our number two game, but because Mass Effect is gone, Final Fantasy 15. it's high up on my list, but I know Tony and Jeff are not excited about that game at all.
Yeah. Nope. Absolutely not.
Yeah, buddy.
We should be getting an announcement on that soon, too, when that's coming out, right?
Yeah, though, I think...
next week?
Yeah, the 27th, maybe, or something. There's a release day event.
Okay, so soon.
Maybe
not next week, but pretty soon. So, yeah, there's a lot of movement this month on the board. And
it's exciting.
I think there will be more movement after this month as well, so...
Yeah, there is going to be, because Dark Souls, baby. Y'all
That's
need to get on that
literally going to be only on your list next month.
How did nobody likes Dark Souls? You guys...
I like him. I don't think I'm going to be able to play it next month. That's all. I love those games. I have Scholar of the First Sin sitting on top of my PS4 right now.
Dude, I'm so mad I didn't just record.
Well, it is on your list, too. It was on your Power Rankings voting ballot for this month. So
it was on mine?
Yeah, you had it at number 7.
Oh, shit, okay.
So, okay, well.
All right, so there you go.
Yeah, I know did it not. Yeah, I thought I was, like, done with the series, but I think I've just begun to get started. And I'm so
mad.
It
sounds like most people who've played Dark Souls.
I wish I recorded that beating I gave that guy, because, like, I have this huge shield that covers my whole body, and I was just backing him into a corner with it and staring at him and not even hitting him. And then I bashed him with the fucking shield. I just went, BAM! And fucking hit him with it. It was great. Anyways. Oh, that was so thrilling. That was so great. Oh, my God. But, yeah, so.
That is what enthusiasm is, Tony. That is enthusiasm.
Well, that's what playing Dark Souls is.
It is. It's so good. I don't know how you guys have not given it a proper chance.
I gave Dark Souls 1 like 45 hours. Like,
really?
Yeah.
You know what I'm doing right now, though, guys? And I'm ashamed to admit this. I'm playing World of Warcraft right now.
World's going to hell.
But I'm doing it because I want one of the new
Yes. You need to play 20 hours of it, don't you?
No, I need to play. I need to get
to level
20.
Level 20.
And I'm level 8 right now. And I started at level 1 when we started this podcast, so.
So you'll be at level 20 by tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, you need to make fun of Brian. Apparently, he blocked me on Twitter.
Did he really?
Yes. I have no idea. I don't remember the last time I interacted with him.
He blocked? How do you know? You, like, clicked on his profile or something? Or.
You guys mentioned him earlier. I'm like, oh, I haven't seen any tweets from Brian in a long, long time, and apparently he blocked me.
Weird. Brian, why did you block Tony? Unblock Tony.
I couldn't even imagine why, like...
like what would I have done to him?
You guys don't, like, argue on there or anything, right?
I mean, I'm sure we argue occasionally, but it's more of a, like, discussion thing. But
yeah.
I honestly haven't interacted with him in a long time.
Like, blocked? Like...
Yeah, like, blocked. Like, I just searched his Twitter, and he doesn't come across as a profile I can actually look at.
Huh.
What?
Yeah.
So weird.
Wait a second, man. What if he's actually gone? Hold on. Because I don't recall interacting with him recently either. We got to get to the bottom of this real quick. Hold up.
Twitter drama unfolding live on the podcast.
Now that Tony says it, the last time I talked with him was on Facebook, not on a...
Maybe he's deleted his Twitter account.
Maybe.
What the fuck?
Is it gone?
It's Brian92610 is his account.
Brian Eskelson.
That's right? What I was gonna say. I thought that's who you were
talking. Yeah, it's gone. Page does not exist.
All right. Well, we shall be updated. But Brian is gone from Twitter. That's really. I thought about it. Like, I haven't talked to him in at least probably a week, maybe. And me and him always interact on Twitter, and like it's always kind of like snarky, like jabs at each other, and it's fun. Where the fuck did he go?
Right.
Very weird.
And I never use Facebook, so I would never...
Right. I mean, he is there.
I
mean,
I have his number, so... I would have to text his ass, yeah.
We miss you, Brian. Come back.
Yeah, what the fuck?
It's funny, he doesn't really use Facebook either.
No, he doesn't.
Maybe he's just like, I need off social media.
Maybe.
It's weird. I don't know.
Too much Donald Trump, he can't handle it anymore.
Who could blame him?
Distinctly possible.
He fucking went off the grid. He's out of there. He's out of the country already. Yeah, he's gone.
He's living with Ryan now.
Oh, Sharp Shot?
Yeah. Oh, well. We'll be back next week. Is there anything new coming out?
I think we just covered everything that was coming out. And you know, that's all next month.
There's going to be one new thing next week that comes out, and that's going to be the spooge out of my peepee.
Jesus.
When I beat this game.
And on that note,
that was the most disturbing thing that's ever been said on this podcast.
There's your episode title there.
No.
The smooge out of my pee.
Jesus.
I don't think anyone would click on. Well, maybe too many people would click on.
Right. Maybe that's what we need to do.
Dark Souls is that good. There's going to be spooge out of my pee-pee next week.
What is next week? Like, date-wise. Next week podcast is...
Today's the
18th. Next week podcast would be the
25th. So it'd be the
24th. It'd be the 24th.
Yes, we would record.
It's the 18th now. But we started recording on the 17th.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
So there's that. Yeah.
Well, I immediately regret all my life choices.
Listening to Jeff is also often a choice you regret.
Wow. yeah, and then we're rapidly coming up on 300. We are in preliminary discussions about what we're going to do for that. So
we have no fucking idea what we're doing.
Yep, not at all. We are.
There will be Dark Souls involved in it, though. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay.
Whatever you say, Jeff.
I can't wait. It's going to be super exciting. On the site next week, there'll be an XCOM 2 review, as Tony mentioned. He wrote one of those.
Yes.
Walking Dead Michonne Episode 1 review will be up as well. Just in time for Episode 2, because that comes out at the end of March. So.
Alright, cool.
Alright.
I might write up a Stardew Valley thing after I feel like I've played enough of it.
Alright.
To deliver an informed opinion. Stuff. Daredevil Season 2 tomorrow.
Oh, Netflix. Is that tomorrow? I still have to watch Season 1.
What? Oh, Season 1 is really good.
Yeah. I'm excited. That's up. Is that up today?
It'll be up at 3 in the morning, but yeah.
Nice.
So,
I don't know if it's weird how it's doing its thing, but...
Guess who's calling in sick tomorrow?
Right? I've been thinking about it.
Nah, I can't. I called in sick too many times. I gotta be a good boy.
Not that we're a movie podcast. Jeff and I have one of those, but
Movie dudes, throw it out there. Subscribe.
Yes, there's movie dudes. But
anybody see Zootopia yet?
Jeff and I both did. Yeah.
Nice.
Should listen to our podcast from last week.
I probably
If you listen to Movie Dudes, we'll tell you how it is.
Yeah.
I'm gonna imagine pretty good, considering that's what everybody's been saying.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. but a critic that I follow, this is from a friend of his that saw Batman vs. Superman, but they declared that it was very good, and Wonder Woman was a solid character in the film.
I'm not shocked about. I'm shocked that. I don't know. That movie has not done itself any favors with the trailers it's been putting out. So.
Nope.
Here's
what I'll say, though. I'm one of the few people I really like Man of Steel. I've seen it more than once, and I like it.
I like Man of Steel a lot, too, actually.
Yeah.
I am with you guys on this. So I don't know what our problem is.
Like people really hate on that movie. Yeah. It's entertaining. It's good. Like,
it's a good Superman movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there aren't many of them.
No, there's...
One other one.
Three now?
Maybe two other ones. Yeah, maybe three if you count one and two.
I'd see the first two and then Man of Steel.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, granted, there aren't that many other options. There's only six Superman films in total.
Right. But, you know, if... I don't know, 3, 4, and that the Bryan Singer one. They're not
Superman
good.
Returns.
Superman picks up rocks.
That movie had potential, man. Can you, Kevin Spacey, motherfucker, as Lex Luthor?
Oh, yeah. He was, I thought, very good as Lex Luthor.
Yeah, no, he was great.
The rest of that movie was garbage.
Well, and it's... Do you watch Arrow?
No. I've seen Arrow.
But... Or Legends of Tomorrow or anything. What's his name? Is now... He plays Ray Palmer. And it's really weird thinking that he used to be Superman. Like, it's really weird. It's like, oh, shit. Yeah, like, I remember when him and Kate Bosworth were on the cover of Empire magazine, like, as the new Lois and Clark. You're just like, oh, my God, that's right. That was a thing.
We'll say that the scene where he
saves the space shuttle, the airplane with the space shuttle on it, is actually pretty good.
Oh, yeah. And I actually like, there's a really cool scene in that movie where they find out Lex Luthor has been released from prison, and Jimmy Olsen's like, I wonder how Superman feels like that. And Clark's just like, I imagine you'd be pretty pissed off, you know? Like, just don't imagine Superman as somebody who, like, has feelings.
Right.
You know, and it's, like, kind of weird. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess he would be really pissed that somebody he's fought so long just managed to get out of prison and stuff. It had interesting ideas, it just never paid off on any of them.
I am looking forward to Batman vs. Superman, so...
Yeah, I took the morning off, so I can go see it next week.
Yeah, it is next week, isn't it?
Yeah, buddy.
So, all right, well, we'll be back next week. Pete will not see Batman vs. Superman when we record, though, so he cannot give his opinion on it.
What are you seeing?
I won't see it till after that, too. So.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Well, sometimes...
But you had just said you were taking off to
I'm going to go at 7 o'clock that night and then come on the podcast just to piss you guys off. And be like, it was kind of okay, baby.
Like, stab you. If you're going at 7 o'clock, then I'm going at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. It's just a fucking arms race.
Need to see it. Can't be letting Jeff bad talk it if it's good. Just for spite.
If it's good, I would love for it to be good. That'd be great, right? Come on.
You know what doesn't look good, even though it probably will be generally okay, is the new X-Men movie.
Hey, all the recent ones are awesome, so sure. Sure,
but again, you want to talk about a movie that just doesn't know how to market itself.
Ghostbusters.
I don't know, man.
That trailer was terrible.
I have full confidence, though, that X-Men's going to be pretty fucking good. And also, bringing it back to video games, guys, Hardcore Henry. It's an elephant in the room. Nice. I don't know if anyone talk about Hardcore Henry.
I've never heard of it until you mentioned it just now.
It's all right. Tony, you need to look this up, but it is a super movie dumb. Shot in first person.
And like almost literally it just has a video game cutscene. Yes, like the reviews like I've read just talk about it as if it were a video game.
Like think like you are the guy like if they made like a good James Bond video game. Like, if they made, like, a good James Bond video game where you're James Bond, like, a first-person one. Like, there's been ones like that, right?
Yes.
GoldenEye was first-person.
Yeah, GoldenEye was first-person. Yeah, like that. Like, where you're this, like, goofy action hero. It's so weird. You gotta watch the trailer.
The trailer has, like, Queen playing, and he's, like, throwing grenades, and like, jumping from a motorcycle to the top of a car, and the whole thing is, like, it's like a first-person shooter. Like, but a movie. It's fucking... Like, I have to see it. Like, I don't...
Like,
know
nothing... The words dumb as shit have never greatly... Been, like,
yeah.
Properly
like, I have
described
to see
something.
It. I have to see it, dude. I have to see it.
I don't know if I can. I mean... I did just sit through Phantasm 3, and I plan on sitting through Phantasm 4, but Hardcore Henry might be a step too far.
I need to know. I need to know.
What are you doing?
Oh, yeah, Tony, you need to watch that trailer at some point, Henry. Because all it right. is so absurd.
And if you hate yourself.
But you'll kind of love it. You'll kind of, even as it works as a trailer, at the very least.
I don't know, there were people like, mocking it at the one screening I went to. Like there was an older couple and they're like, "What was that?" And the old lady that was with the guy was like, "It hurt my eyes."
That's amazing. It's fucking awesome.
It was so funny.
I could imagine that being nauseating for like an hour and a half.
Right? I'm going to need to bring a controller to stabilize myself.
Hey, man. Future of VR.
Yeah. That's it. That's the first step right there. Hardcore Henry is the experiment for us. If we don't vomit at that movie, we can use VR. All those that vomit get like a stamp on their hand going, no VR for you. All right, Jeff. Say goodnight.
Good night.